The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. So currently, we are in a series responding to Wayne Grudem's critique of free grace. Today, we're going to discuss whether or not free grace underemphasizes trust in the person of Christ. But before we get to that, I want to remind you about our national conference. We do this once a year, and it's a great time for Free Grace folks to get together and learn from Scripture. I want to encourage you to go to our website, faithalone.org, and click on events. Find out more there, and you can even register right there on the site. We'll tell you more about that in the coming episodes. Well, now, let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, let's get back into Grudem's book, Free Grace Theology, Five Ways It Diminishes the Gospel. Of course, Wayne Grudem is a very well-known systematic theologian in evangelical circles. And so when he writes about something, people listen. And in fact, on the back of this book, there are some pretty big names for people who endorse this book. Like, for example, J.I. Packer. The so-called free grace version of the gospel of Jesus is unbiblical, anti-evangelical, and sub-Christian, as Grudem's patient and well-informed analysis clearly shows. That's kind of, you know, J.I. Packer is, you know, especially in Canada, where I'm from, he was very well known as kind of an elder statesman in evangelical circles
right there.
I just wish that Packer had read your book before he died, or someone, free grace person's book, because I think everyone in the free grace community, even people who would disagree with us, on other issues, I think we all agree that this is a sloppy book that does not represent the free grace position very well.
Absolutely.
So we're in chapter 4, under emphasis on trust in the person of Christ. And Wayne Grudem says, free grace teaching overemphasizes agreement with facts and underemphasizes heartfelt trust in the person of Christ. And he goes on to explain on the first page, some free grace advocates view faith as intellectual assent to the facts of the gospel, while other free grace supporters affirm that saving faith must include trust that is placed in the person of Christ. So let me just recap. I don't know if you mentioned this last time, but it is nuts to say that any free grace person doesn't think that we're believing in Jesus.
Right.
Grudem saying, well, these guys just believe in the facts of the gospel, but these other guys are believing in the person of Jesus. That's totally nuts. Everyone is believing in Jesus. And
right. Even
just putting it that way, I think, shows that he's confused about what faith is.
Right. One free grace author pointed out that you had to believe in the three P's to be born again: the person of Christ, the provision of Christ, and the promise of Christ. Well, what we say, which is slightly different,
is
that the person of Christ and the provision of Christ convinces us that the promise of Christ of everlasting life is true.
Right.
And so what we need to believe is the promise that the Lord Jesus makes, that he who believes in me has everlasting life.
Well, I think that's the key. We are believing the promise Jesus makes. That's the fact of the gospel. It has to do with what Jesus promised and his faithfulness to keep his promise to the believer. That's what trusting in Christ means.
In fact, I heard a good message by Bob Bryant, pastor of Cypress Valley Bible Church in Marshall. And what he said, he spoke on John 4:10. That's where Jesus says to the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink of water, you would ask him and he would give you living water.
Right.
So there's two things there. You need to know the gift of God
right. And
who it is that speaks to you.
Right.
That means you need to know everlasting life, John 4:14, and you need to know the giver of the gift, which is the Messiah. That's John 4:25 and 26, Jesus the Messiah.
Yeah, like believing that Muhammad gives you everlasting life.
Won't do it.
Believing that Joseph Smith gives you everlasting life. No, Jesus promises.
Is being misleading.
He is, but on page 105, here's what he says. The Grace Evangelical Society, under the leadership of Robert Wilkin, hey, I know that guy, repeatedly emphasizes only believing the facts of the gospel, believing that I am a sinner and that Christ died to pay for my sins, with little or no mention of the need to go beyond belief that these facts are true and put one's trust in the person of Jesus Christ. This quote alone shows me that he has no idea who you are or what we believe.
Well, exactly.
He has clearly never read a single book we have ever published.
Well, because we are so criticized by people who say we preach a crossless gospel.
Yeah, this is the exact opposite of what people
and
criticize us for.
And they say that we are somehow denying that Jesus died and rose again, which we don't. We say you believe Jesus died and rose again, but that doesn't give you everlasting life. You believe that in order to believe the gift of God, which is everlasting life.
Right. I'm going to try to save his position.
You are?
What he says might be true. If trust in the person of Jesus is what he means is it's more than believing, it's having some type of spiritual experience. If that's what trust in the person means for Grudem, then yes, we say, no, you don't need to do more than believe in Jesus. You don't need to believe plus have this kind of spiritual encounter or something with Jesus
to be
saved. You don't need to have this mystical kind of coming to Jesus moment to be saved.
But where we ended on the last show, we were getting to the quote on page 110. Where he explains what trust in Jesus means.
Okay.
And for him, it's not just some sort of existential experience.
Right.
I feel Jesus, or I draw close to Jesus, or I see Jesus, which is what Eldridge Cleaver said. That's how he was born again. He saw the face of Jesus on the moon,
right,
or whatever. No, that's not what he means. Look at page 110. He's quoting Bedag here,
yeah,
and he says it's to entrust oneself to an entity in complete confidence, believe in, trust, with implication of total commitment to the one who is trusted.
Right.
So his view is that it is a total commitment to the one trusted.
Yeah.
Now, the funny thing is, Grudem does not point out that he's citing one of the definitions of pistuo in Bedag, and this is not the primary use in the New Testament. This is the use where we read in John 2:24, Jesus did not entrust himself to them.
Okay.
That's Jesus entrusting himself to new believers who were not yet committed to confessing him. This idea of pistuo used for entrusting is a use we find in the New Testament,
mm-hmm,
but it's never translated believe.
Okay.
And it's never translated trust. It's translated something like commit. Or it could be entrust.
Right.
And so Grudem's giving a misleading use of Bedag here. But the other part is, it's important for us to see that for him, trust includes a total commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Another thing to point out, I think, is it's really just not clear. Is he putting the emphasis on commitment? I mean, that is part of the quotation that he put there. I would say, you know, this really does fit with what he said before, that repentance is part of faith, and repentance means changing your life and changing your behavior. And so if you don't have the change of behavior, you don't have repentance. And if you don't have repentance, you don't have faith. And if you don't have faith, you don't have salvation. And that would fit here if he thinks that trust is a part of faith and trust means total commitment.
Right.
So that'd be another way of introducing works into his salvation scheme. He goes on to say on page 111, I realize, of course, that the verb pistuo sometimes speaks of mere mental assent. Words have a range of meanings. Yet the fact remains that dozens of verses in the New Testament, especially the many verses with pistuo eis, speak about trust in Christ as a person, believing in him. Here are some examples. And then he quotes John 3:18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Yeah, I agree with that.
Right.
That's what we're saying. If you don't believe in him, you don't have everlasting life. If you have it, you do.
Right.
John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Well, we believe that too. Just believe in him once and you'll never thirst again. This is part of the problem of this book. Grudem just quotes these verses without explaining his position or what he means by them or how his interpretation might be different from ours.
Right. There's no exegesis here.
No
exegesis. There's no hermeneutics taking place.
For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That is our position. We believe that verse. So I would love to know, what does Grudem think? How is he approaching that differently? How does he think we don't believe this?
Well,
apparently he thinks that pistuo eis, believe in him, has this commitment that you just mentioned.
Yeah, that's part of the problem here, is that he doesn't say what we say about those verses. In other words, he's implying that we have some different understanding of John 3:18, John 6:35, John 6:40, and then John 11:25 and 26. He acts like they support his view, which they don't, but he also doesn't say what we hold on those views. So he should be quoting Free Grace theologians.
Right.
Well, you know, Sean, on page 116, he's giving a series of quotes from B.B. Warfield, the famed, wasn't he a Princeton theologian?
Yes.
And he's quoting him here, and he says, No true faith has arisen unless there has been a perception of the object to be believed or believed in, an assent to its worthiness to be believed or believed in. And then he has in italics, showing that Grudem wants to emphasize this, a commitment of ourselves to it as true and trustworthy. We cannot be said to believe or trust in a thing or a person of which we have no knowledge. So within that quote, there has to be a commitment of ourselves to Jesus as true and trustworthy. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Based on what he said elsewhere in the book, it means we turn from our sins and we begin to obey.
Right. Now, we would say we turn to Jesus as trustworthy because we believe that he's going to stay true to his promise, and he really does give the believer everlasting life.
Right.
And we don't trust in ourselves to save ourselves by our works at all. We trust totally in Jesus, that his work is totally sufficient. We trust in Jesus that, yeah, that John 3:16 promise is true of me the moment I believe.
Right, but I would think this Warfield quote about being trustworthy means that he's trustworthy in my daily living.
Right, I mean, Grudem must be quoting Warfield to mean something more than what we would say intellectual assent. It's just it's just not clear.
Right.
I mean, all I can do is assent to Jesus' promise.
So this fourth chapter, an underemphasis on trust of the person of Christ, it really points out the problems in Grudem's view, because he doesn't even talk about belief in the title. He talks about trust. And then when he goes through the chapter, belief is not being convinced. Belief is some sort of turning from sins, obedience to Christ. It's a personal encounter, which he repeats over and over again.
Yeah, like maybe just to end with this, in this the very last page of that chapter, here's what he says. He says, free grace people, repeatedly downplays or even denies the very heart of saving faith in the New Testament, a conscious decision of the will to come to him in personal encounter and receive him and believe him as a living person, as the one who promises us, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Well, I don't know what he means by personal encounter, and you don't either, and probably no one really knows if they've had a personal encounter with Jesus. But here's the truth. You come to Jesus by believing in him. Believing in him for
Amen.
The life he promises. That's what coming to Jesus means, not this existential, mystical, personal encounter stuff that Grudem is pushing. Well, stay tuned as we go through this book by Wayne Grudem.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org.
On tomorrow's program, we're going to talk about whether there is a need for repentance in order to stay out of hell. So, join us for that.
I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.